The 1 week ceasefire helped calm the situation a little bit, but there were serious violations by both parties. The Sudan Armed Forces conducted air surveillance and air raids in violation of certain provisions of the ceasefire. They conducted aerial bombings. The Rapid Support Forces redeployed their elements to attack the army position, again in violation of provisions of the ceasefire. Both parties also continued to occupy public buildings and prevent access to facilities that are necessary for the well-being and survival of the population, such as water stations and power generation stations that were damaged or destroyed by the fighting. However, the last period that we compared to earlier ceasefires represented better observation in terms of a few days, about 3 days of calmer, less intense fighting in Khartoum. The main thing, the ceasefire is about humanitarian access and protection of civilians. And nothing has been done about this for the largest concentration of civilians in the capital, Khartoum, of 7 million inhabitants. Many have left, you know, tens of thousands, but still there are millions who are trapped.
Do you expect to see more of the same with the five-day extension?
Well, like the mediators, you know, we are now looking at this as a one step at a time process, hoping that the parties will come to their senses and meet their obligations under international humanitarian law of protecting civilians, allowing access to them, giving humanitarian workers safe access to service trapped populations, and to allow the free movement of these populations if they so wish. This has not been the case until now, as I said, in Khartoum, and you can only hope that in the less than a week extension of 5 days, the parties will show better compliance with their obligations under the ceasefire terms.
And these are short-term humanitarian ceasefires, like you mentioned. What does it take to achieve a permanent ceasefire and possibly move towards a political settlement to this conflict?
This is a very early stage. You know, it's really about protection of civilians and salvaging civilians who are in the crossfire zones. However, the mediators are eager to get to the next phase of separation of forces and the actual deployment of observers of the compliance with the ceasefire. This hasn't been the case because the forces of the two parties are interlocked in an urban warfare, in which the rapid support forces occupy large swathes of Khartoum, embedding itself in residential areas. The army, by this bombing from the air and through artillery at positions of the RSF, has really added to the misery of the population and destroyed private residences and public you know, facilities.
I know you said we are in the early stages of this process, but what possible outcomes or do we have at the end of this conflict from what you see? Because some people talk about doomsday scenarios, destruction of Khartoum and the country descending into full-blown civil war, or returning to the previous arrangement with Burhan, General Burhan as the head of state and General Dagalo as his deputy. What outcomes do we have here?
I don't see a scenario whereby people could return to the simple iteration you know, an arrangement in which you know, the two generals would have any role in the political dispensation in the post-conflict era. They have completely discredited themselves. They should be shunned by the international community and isolated for their, you know, role in actually destroying Khartoum. This is not a doomsday scenario. It's actually happening. When you look at the level of destruction that is occurring daily in the capital, not only because of the fighting, but also because of systematic looting and arson. So the level of destruction, I don't think the international community apprehends how Sudan has been bombed into, you know, a failed state. There is no functioning state in Sudan today, and it will be very difficult to revive it in the post-conflict era, even if the fighting stops today. And therefore, I think that whatever government would come after the conflict would have to be civilian government, getting back, yes, to the scenario of the army and the security institutions, you know, exiting power, ceding all their economic holdings in terms of publicly owned enterprise, government-owned enterprises, coming under the financial sovereignty of the government and not controlled off budget by the army and by the private companies of the Rapid Support Forces.